Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
We'll be in John chapter 11 and talking about quite a bit in that chapter, but then specifically looking at a few verses there in that chapter. So I'd invite you to find that, leave that passage open as we read and study it together today. And before we do, would you please pray with me? God, we just take a deep breath. As we come before your word again this day, we are grateful for time and space to be able to study it, to read it, talk about it together. We are grateful too for the Holy Spirit that we trust and believe is here present with us, moving and active amongst us in our worship, in our fellowship, and in our study here. So, Holy Spirit, we would pray that as we read and as we talk and as we share together, that you would imprint upon our hearts this day what you would have for us to receive, each and every one of us. We know there's many different people here from many different circumstances of this past week and heading into different things in the week ahead. What would you speak to us today, meeting us right where we are at in this moment? Holy Spirit, we lay this time before you. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So this is the 20th Easter where I have had the opportunity to preach on the resurrection. And I have to make a confession that there is always a temptation lurking, that this sermon has to be the masterwork sermon of the entire year. I had a very good friend of mine told me a few years ago, we went out for lunch during this week and of Holy Week, and he said to me, "Hey, no pressure, but this is sort of like your Super Bowl." Thanks. Really didn't need that encouragement because there's already a whole bunch of internal pressure upon that I put upon myself that this needs to be a grand slam home run that will knock it out of the park, or an Olympic gold medal performance, or that one shining moment. And if we're talking about college basketball, can we say, "Go Blue"? Anybody? Yes? One more game. Come on, boys. You know who you're cheering for tomorrow night, yes? But I could give a whole bunch of other sports references, you know, how this feels. And so that is the confession I need to make with you this morning. Because here's the thing, you know, we come to Easter and, you know, we've got a full rock and praise team. We try to turn the decibel meter up just a little bit more. And it's always so fun to hear your excited chatter and buzz as you come in these doors. And there's the joy and the excitement and the anticipation, the expectant nature of what this day is. And I mean, look behind me here, the decor that we have going on. And we have this, we really have this readiness too, I think, to leave behind the solemn and somber Lent and even the kind of that bad taste in our mouth that we leave Good Friday with. And of course, how, you know, we come to Easter, how can we not mention Easter and we can't talk about those cute Easter dresses, yes? And so you have all of that, and so many times then I have wanted, you know, even with all that other stuff going on, I've wanted this to be the moment of our Lent and Holy Week journey, this heart-gripping, soul-saving, life-reorienting, magnificent Easter morning message. I confess to you that this is what I feel in my office when I'm studying. And this is what I feel when I'm at my computer writing. And what I feel even on stage here as I prepare. And I'd be lying if I denied sensing the extra pump of adrenaline as I wake up on Easter morning. And yet today I'm going to come to you with a conclusion that the meaning of this day, its hope, its joy, its power, its peace, its promise, its good news has never been and is not and will never be found in the words that I share from behind this pulpit, regardless of how winsome and impressive they might be, nor will it be found in no matter how rockin' the praise team is, or not even in how cute those dresses are. But friends, what sets this day apart, what makes this day a day of possibility that could dramatically change my life and your life now and forever, is really an answer to a question. Question from Jesus and our response. See, the reason we can have joy, why we can be filled with peace, the basis for our hope is how we answer this question posed by the lips of Jesus. Do you believe this? That we may believe. If you've been with us here at Westview throughout the season of Lent, you know that that has been the underlying focus of our entire series, that we have heard it over and over again. I believe we see it again here in our sermon series artwork on the screen. It has been what has driven our week by week by week study of all these signs that John includes in his gospel. Because he tells us that these signs, he includes them here in the gospel for a reason. John tells us at the end of his gospel that these are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's why we have studied each sign over sign throughout the season of Lent. And we're finishing up here today with this last sign. It's all for this. It's all to this. So that you and me now, in this moment, we might have an answer to the question that Jesus asks us this morning. Do you believe this? These are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Our passage this morning is the final sign that John writes. Although, I'll be honest, plenty of scholars would say there's actually another sign yet to come, and that is the actual resurrection of Jesus. And that's fair, and we'll talk about that resurrection here in just a moment. But even so, this sign of Jesus rising Lazarus from the dead is sometimes called the ultimate sign because it's more than just a glimpse of to what is going to come for Jesus himself, what we celebrate on this day. And so a little backdrop here of what's happening before we read our passage. Jesus is with his disciples, and he gets word that a dear friend of his, Lazarus, is deathly ill. And rather than rush off to see him, Jesus actually sticks around where he was for another 2 days. In chapter 11, verse 4, before our passage this morning, he names to his disciples that Lazarus' sickness will not end in death, but God and God's Son will be glorified in what is to take place. Now, after a little bit of time, Jesus then suggests to his disciples, hey, let's now go down to Judea where Lazarus and his family reside. And the disciples are a little concerned about this because there's some people there in Judea that have some bad intentions when it comes to Jesus. Jesus seems to brush that off, not too concerned. But this is what he says in verse 14. He names to the disciples, hey, here's the thing, Lazarus is dead. But he follows up with these words in verse 15. He says, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. There's that purpose again. That you may believe. We pick up the story here in verse 17 of chapter 11. I would invite you to follow along as I read aloud these words from the book that we love. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." We'll stop there. You know, never one to sit around, Martha meets Jesus while he's still on his way. And she offers to Jesus sort of a half-rebuke, half-faith-filled statement in verse 21. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." To which Jesus says, "Your brother Lazarus will rise again." And Martha sort of gives kind of somewhat a surprising response, but maybe not so surprising when we hear that the prevailing belief of the Jews in that day, except for the Sadducees, was the belief that God would not allow his people to pass away into some sort of forever oblivion, but that there would be some kind of end-of-time resurrection. And so Martha's statement there is both theologically accurate and also a statement that's going to provide herself and those around her some comfort. But then Jesus says something that will change her life. Jesus will say something that I'll tell you has changed my life. Jesus will say something next that perhaps has changed your life. Jesus will say something that perhaps will today change some of our lives. Jesus says something that has changed the world. Starting in verse 25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Can we pause just for a moment here in an attempt to get our minds around what Jesus is saying here, that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is the resurrection. Resurrection is not some far-off, distant process at the end of the age where we will suddenly awaken from some sort of slumber and once again we'll be aware and alive. No, Jesus is the resurrection. In Jesus, there is the defeat that becomes victory. In Jesus, hopeless becomes hopeful. In Jesus, pain becomes promise. In Jesus, sorrow becomes salvation. In Jesus, sinner becomes sanctified. Judgment becomes justified. In Jesus is where death becomes life, because Jesus is the resurrection and life. Which means that when we put our trust, when we put our hope, our belief, our faith in Jesus, he gives to us the gift of life that death cannot conquer or diminish in any kind of way. We receive this abundant life where the promises and the blessings of all eternity are ours right now in this moment. And not just in this moment, we are secured. We are given this gift of eternal life, that unperishable inheritance, secure and shielded by God's power now and forever. In Jesus, there is this indestructible life of the resurrection, the very life that is found in the death-defeating God-man himself. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in him will live even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in him will not die. That's what Jesus says to Martha near the tomb of her dead brother Lazarus, that he, Jesus, is the fulfillment of resurrection, and he is the fullness of life. This is who Jesus is. And then he says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And let me ask you something. Do you find any familiarity with the answer that Martha gives in verse 27. She says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's Martha's response. But what about us? Do we believe this? Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe that he is the one who died on that cross on Good Friday for my sins and your sins and the sins of this whole world, paying the price, dying the death, enduring the wrath of God that you and I deserved? And that on this day, this Easter morning, do we believe that he is the one who rose triumphantly and victoriously from the grave, that death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again, that he is the resurrection and in him is life? Do we believe this? Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we are finding life in his name? That has been our whole focus throughout this season of Lent here at Westview. That we've studied one sign after another here in John's Gospel so that we may believe. We started out many weeks ago with Jesus turning water into wine. It was the announcement of Messiah. New has come. Perfection is here. Abundance is ours. We saw Jesus heal the official's son, and we grappled with the relationship between signs and faith as a part of our growing walk with Jesus. We saw Jesus heal the paralyzed man, and it invited us not just to find a healing from an ailment in Jesus, but that we want to get well, we want to get whole. The fullness of healing is found in him. We saw Jesus feeding the multitude, demonstrating a compassion to those in need, and also providing satisfaction, not just for hungry stomachs, but for our sin-stained souls. We saw Jesus walking on water, where he sees us and comes to us and assures us and provides for us, even in the midst of storm. And just on Friday, we saw Jesus' ability to give us the gift of sight, even in darkness, even though we too are born blind. And all of that is to get us to this point today so that we might believe. But there is one more sign that Jesus does. And we pick up that story here in verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of those standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." We see again the underlying motivation here of Jesus' words and actions is so that there would be belief. We see that in verse 40 and again in verse 42. And we see what Jesus does here. He commands that the stone be taken away from the entrance of that cave. And there's a little detail that John gives here about it being 4 days. And the 4 days there is not because there would be an odor, but it spoke to this belief, this Jewish belief that when a person died, that their soul would hover over their body for 3 days. And it was only until the 4th day when the decomposition would begin that the soul would then leave permanently. And so this detail is here to alert us that Lazarus, in all the people's minds, Martha, Mary, and all those who had gathered, it's been 4 days, Lazarus is dead. But that's no matter for the resurrection and the life. Because Jesus commands, Lazarus, come out. And the miracle within this sign occurs. The man who was dead, comes out of the grave. But there's one slight issue. He's all tied up. The burial linen wrapped around him, his body, is sort of like a loose-fitting body bag. His hands and feet would have been bound together. There would have been a burial cloth wrapped around his jaw to keep his mouth shut and wrapped around his head like this in a circle. And so as Lazarus comes out, he would have had to shuffle and mumble himself out of the grave. See, the man who is now alive still has the look of death. And so Jesus gives one final instruction. Take off the grave clothes. Leave the remnants of the old behind. Remove the evidence of sin that so easily entangles back in the grave. It is no longer your reality. Because of Jesus, sin's curse has lost its grip. It no longer wraps and straps. It no longer causes stumbling or bumbling. In Jesus, sin and its effects are gone, done, no longer a concern. Take off those grave clothes, Lazarus, because you are no longer dead, but alive, because Jesus is the resurrection in the life. Now, to the point here that in Jesus, sin's grip is gone, I want to invite you to listen with me to a story. And I want to see if you notice the detail that the gospel writer puts in here. And we talked about this several times throughout the series Westview. And when John gives us a detail, we need to pay attention. See if you notice the detail of what is included in this story and how it relates to what we just said about Lazarus. Early on the first day of the week, when it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in and saw the strips of linen lying there, but did not go inside. Then Peter, who was behind him, arrived at the tomb and went inside. He saw the strips of linen lying there and the burial cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. Did you catch the detail that John shares in that passage? I mean, beyond the always humorous, competitive, "I'm faster than you, Peter," sort of thing going on, which is always great. But did you catch the detail that John includes about something, where it was, where it is now? That linen and the burial cloth. And what is different about where this linen is and this cloth is in the resurrection story than that of the story of Lazarus? It's not around the body of Jesus, is it? It's lying there, the burial cloth even folded up, lying by itself. See, there's no evidence, there's no remnant of sin, there's no look of death on the resurrected Jesus. None of that is necessary. None of that has any influence or impact or sway. And it's then that John testifies in his gospel that in that moment, he himself sees. He goes in, sees the linen, sees the cloth. He sees the remnants and reminders of death. John sees they're not on the body of Jesus. And he believes. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he says that if we believe in him, we will live even though we die. And if we live and believe in him, we will never die. See, friends, when we believe in Jesus, the remnants, the effects, the residual impact of sin is gone. It is dealt with forever, powerless. When we believe in Jesus, we are no longer having the look or the stink of death, but we are the aroma of Christ. When we believe in Jesus, we are made whole. We are made righteous in Jesus. The sickness of sin is soothed. The yearning of wholeness is received. The joy of salvation is celebrated. The blessing of abundance is given. The guarantee of eternity is secure. And the peace of God's gracious redemptive promises are ours when we believe. When we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, when we believe in Him and we find life in His name, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I don't know. I'm quite confident this is probably not the greatest Easter message anybody has ever given. Maybe not a grand slam home run, but could we at least say a laser double down the line? Yes. Probably a good thing I maybe got 20 more cracks at it, yeah? But friends, in reality, the good news of Easter morning, that Jesus Christ is risen, He is risen indeed. And that when we believe in Him, death is no longer the end of our story, but when we believe in Him, we live even though we die. That is a message that preaches even without winsome words or a powerful voice or rocking song or cute dresses. It is a message. It is the good news, this hope, this joy, this peace. That is why we gather. That is why we celebrate. That is why today is what it is, because Jesus is resurrected from the grave, and in Him is life for all who believe. And so, friends, it does come down to one question and one answer. A question from Jesus and an answer from us. Do you believe this? My friends here today, do you believe this? Do we believe what has been revealed to us in this and all the signs that we have studied in Lent? Do we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do we believe that He is the Lord and Savior who by His life and death and resurrection has made possible the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of life everlasting? Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? And if we believe in Him, we will live even though we die. And if we live and believe in Him, we will never die. Do we believe this? Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.